KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The government shutdown is now entering week number 4 with a crucial date on the calendar coming up. November 1st, says ABC's Ben Siegel in Washington.
That date is important because that is when open enrollment begins on these healthcare marketplaces, the Obamacare marketplaces in the states. And that is important because this whole shutdown fight started when Democrats demanded Republicans act to preserve expiring subsidies, subsidies that help make health insurance more affordable for people buying healthcare on these marketplaces.
The Louvre closed today for regular maintenance. Police are still investigating after Sunday's brazen jewelry robbery at the museum. The thieves still on the run. Amazon Web Services recovering after a major service outage that started early Monday and continued throughout the day, affecting popular sites like Starbucks, McDonald's, and Roblox. President Trump's ballroom dream becoming a reality. Demolition crews tearing down White House walls. This is ABC News.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The live part of Saturday Night Live can be a liability at times, as proven this past weekend. Sabrina Carpenter appeared on the show as the host and musical guest. The host side of Carpenter did fine, but the musical side dropped 2 F-bombs during her song Nobody's Son from her new album Man's Best Friend. Both F-words played live during the broadcast and on the Peacock simulcast, but after some editing, the West Coast saw the PG-13 version. Carpenter performed wearing a karate gi, but unfortunately they were not able to edit out her wardrobe. Here's one of Pete's picks. Roofman is worth a look. This well-reviewed action comedy is a true story about a man who breaks into McDonald's stores through the roof. Even after getting caught, he manages to escape prison and live in a Toys R Us for several months while making a plan to escape the country. The film stars Channing Tatum, Peter Dinklage, and Kirsten Dunst, and was a really fun watch with a really nice but not too preachy message. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bucks are ready to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks kick off their season at home this Wednesday night when they take on the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum, and it'll be the first time they face off against former Buck Chris Middleton, who they traded to Washington last season. Doc Rivers says they're planning a special video tribute to Middleton during the game. How come?
Because he's a Buck for life, no matter where he's at. Pat Connaughton's a Buck for life, Brooke Lopez, and so we lost 3 of those guys from last year. Chris will be the first one coming back. And, you know, the Milwaukee fans are phenomenal. So, you know, it's so funny. The one thing I'm not worried about is, like, usually the question, if this was a lot of other places, are you think the fans are going to boo? Of course not. They're not. We traded him. He won a title for us, and he's a Buck. And he's part of this community. Good as he was all on the court, I thought he was a superstar off the court. Him and his wife, with all the things they did for the community.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Yes, Pat Kreitlow will be joining us after 9:30. I hope you can join us too.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
Hi, meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Coats and umbrellas needed today. Blustery and much colder, with scattered showers developing in the afternoon. Highs only in the mid-40s. Those scattered showers continue this evening. Still breezy. Low temperatures in the mid-30s. It's 35 at our studios.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trigby, she's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and podcast host Jimmy Pardo, then Mission 1 Billion co-founders Rex Sykes and Rocky Wagonhurst join the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Boy, one offhand comment aboard Air Force One has tanked our cattle market. Started on Friday, still feeling the hangover on a Tuesday. Welcome in, everybody. We're talking about that. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here on the Midwest Farm Report. The president said that he would like to bring in possibly Argentinian cattle and beef to try to offset high beef prices for U.S. consumers. Well, listen, that is not what the U.S. cattle industry had in mind. You're going to hear from the CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association and also from the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation on why they don't think that's such a great move, despite the fact that beef prices are high. Another story on the way this morning, John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is going to be joining us. Is the market still trading on that offhand comment? And yesterday we were supposed to get our September milk production report, but the government's still shut down. Where does the trading place turn for independent, reliable information when it comes to things like that? We'll find out what John has to say. Weather-wise, I'm going to guess Stu Muck is going to say it's going to be chilly today. Rain in the forecast before 2 o'clock this afternoon. Breezy day on the way. Winds out of the west, 10, 20, maybe even 30 miles an hour. And highs are only expected to be around 48 degrees. If we pick up any rain, it's probably going to be less than a tenth of an inch. Showers continue tonight. Wednesday, cloudy skies. Highs around 49, and again, the wind stays in play. Thursday, sunny and 52, and Friday, they're looking for sunny skies, 57 degrees. Up next, we begin a series introducing you to the finalists for this year's Leopold Conservation Award, recognizing farmers' efforts, not just in a calendar year, but generationally, to try to make sure that they're keeping nutrients in place, that they're taking care of the soil. Andy Benson is one of the finalists. He's in Barron County, and Jill Welke introduces us to him next.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Get ready, Wisconsin. 10 days packed with discovery, fun, and excitement are coming your way. It's the Wisconsin Science Festival, October 16th through the 26th. With over 200 unique events in more than 50 counties, you'll find something for everyone, kids, families, and lifelong learners. This year's theme, rock and roll. Dive into the music, motion, and geology with interactive events. Don't miss the fun. Visit wiscifest.org to find events near you.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand Power Core and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, Power Core and List beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare. Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
I am always fascinated by how our farmers take care of the land and get it producing so many different kind of things, keeping that soil where it needs to be productive. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, but I headed up north to Barron County, and I'm chatting with Andy Benson. He is AB Farms, north of Ridgeland. He was nominated for an award, a conservation award, Leopold Conservation Award for this year, the operation.
In 91, I had an opportunity to buy 155 acres with the buildings for $80,000, no money down on a land contract. So that was my very modest beginnings the second time. And the second time around then, because we did not have a lot of money, and because things were really meager, we didn't spend money on equipment. I started out with a six-row corn planter and a small tractor and a little sprayer. And that was the subtle beginnings. And we did everything no-till from that point on. And we are more profitable doing long-term no-till. And we've changed some things in the process. We've learned some things. Crop rotation, it became a very, very important part of our strategy. We adopted strip tillage in the late 90s and began to put our nutrients down in a zone below the row where we plant our corn. We began to use cover crops in the mid-2000s, 2004-05. So there's a lot of things that we did, and so some of this ground that we're farming today has literally been no-till for over 30 years.
You think outside the box occasionally in what's going into those fields. Are you still all no-till? And then what are some of those things that you're doing?
I would say that we're still considered 100% no-till. The exception, if you want to use it that way, is we do have a vertical till machine that we use to seed some cover crops. So graduating on up through the things that we have learned from and the mistakes that we have made, number one, if you can't get good seed soil contact when you're planting, and I don't care whether it's your cover crop that you're planting or whether it's your main row crop or whether it's alfalfa for a dairy, you absolutely must find a way to get seed soil contact. Typically what we find is the first half dozen years when you're doing continuous no-till, you tend to build up a lot of residue on the surface. And that can be a problem both from a weed control standpoint because you're not getting the herbicides into the soil. It can be a problem with seed soil contact, so you're not getting the stands. It can be a problem with the soil temperatures remaining cool and wet longer than you anticipate. But as you walk this pathway for a while and your soil biological activity tends to accelerate, eventually you get to the point where all that residue on the surface is being consumed by the microbes and the soil life, the earthworms and so forth. And when that begins to happen, then you know that you've kind of gotten closer to your goals.
What are some of the crops that you rotate up here to help with your soil health?
Our crop rotation right now is, we'll start with corn, followed typically by a cover crop. And a cover crop, when the corn is harvested for grain. Last year is the first year we were able to get 100% of our corn harvested for grain seeded to cereal rye. And cereal rye then is the cover crop that we follow the corn with going into soybeans. And one of the things we're working on is the ability to grow our soybeans without the use of herbicides, or at least very minimal use of herbicides. Cereal rye, and I'll thank our friends down at the University Extension and the research that's been going on down there, is rye has an allelopathic effect on other weeds. So in other words, it gives off a chemical that stops other weeds from germinating. So when we get rye in the field, we can stop the weeds from germinating. And we know that if we get enough biomass from the rye and we lay it down on the ground with a roller crimper, that we can largely have a weed-free environment for the growing season. So that's something that we're working on. My agronomist, Joe Iles, is a giant pumpkin grower, and he's been growing giant pumpkins without any herbicides, having weed-free fields, and he does it on a much smaller scale, but clearly proof of concept. So we've gone corn, cereal rye for cover, followed by soybeans. At soybean harvest time, there's our opportunity to plant winter wheat. So once the soybeans are harvested, we will drill winter wheat in, and that becomes a grain crop then for the next year. That's another opportunity to reduce our seed bank again, because winter wheat is harvested typically around the end of July, 1st of August, and everything gets mowed. We typically then let the combine do a good job of spreading residue. We'll harvest some of the straw, not all of it, but we'll harvest some of it, leaving probably at least half of it out in the field, and half of it maybe we can get in a windrow and make some straw. And then after the wheat is harvested, we will plant medium red clover, crimson clover, radish, daikon radish, and purple top turnips. So we have a four-way mix that goes in then following the wheat, and we will have enough volunteer wheat just from out of the back of the combine. Right now, if you want to look down, they're all about 8 inches tall. They look like a golf course. They're green as can be. The clover's coming, the radish are coming, the turnip's coming. And it doesn't take very much of the what we call the brassicas. The radish and the turnip are brassicas. They do a good job of suppressing nematodes. That gives us a way then to keep those pests. So all of this works together because each of these crops have a unique impact on the soil. And so the microbes that colonize certain roots aren't the same for all species. And the more diversity we can get, the better our overall soil health becomes.
What about the local watersheds? Are you involved in any of those?
I've been really fortunate to have a good group of friends that farm in the area that have like-mindedness. The Farmers of the Barron County Watersheds is the name of our group. We've been in existence, I think 7 or 8 years since we've started that group. And so we like to challenge each other all the time and do different things. And so the different members of that group, you know, many of them are smaller farmers. I didn't talk about the size of my farm, but we're not doing this as a hobby. Our farm currently is about 3,800 acres. We have roughly 40% corn, 40% beans, and 20% wheat.
You've been involved beyond your own crops and in that marketing realm. What are some of those positions that you've held?
Well, probably about 10 years ago or so, I was appointed to what was then the Midwest Shippers Association, which then morphed into an organization called the Soy and Specialty Grains Alliance, or SSGA. SSGA is all about markets for IP crops. I learned a lot about the international trade being on that board, and I was on that board for a number of years. Another board that I serve on currently is called the Soy Transportation Coalition.
Taking care of that land up here in Barron County and beyond is Mr. Andy Benson. He's a finalist for the Leopold Award for this year. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, but chatting to you from Barron County.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome where it's hard to control your leg. And you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. What broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid the studio. We'll be dealing with...
Sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
Why is it that President Trump cares more about bailing out Argentinian farmers than he does about Wisconsin soybean farmers? We'll explain the connection.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
A lot of folks around Wisconsin, they're waking up. Temperatures that are definitely in the low 40s and some reporting a little rain overnight.
Yeah, a little bit of that, and that adds to the chill. You know, that moisture just kind of works in, and it's going to be breezy along with that today. So, yeah, it feels kind of like October.
It's weird how the variation on moisture, Linda by Reeseville, about a tenth of an inch. Connie up by Valder's, just short of an inch. Stan says the wind's blown up in Green Bay. Rocky and Taycheeta, about 0.06 in the rain gauge. I mean, not a lot of anything except, like you said, the wind.
Yeah, the wind is a big deal. I've got little amounts here and there. A tenth of an inch officially at Madison. Milwaukee at 0.05 of an inch. I've got 0.04 of an inch south of Fond du Lac. My friend John, just east over near the Sheboygan County border, 0.2 of an inch. So, you know, the rain's been here, there, and all over. Cool fronts pushed off to our east, and that rain is kind of pushing away from Wisconsin. Lower Michigan, the UP, northern Lake Michigan up into Lake Superior, but still circling around into northwest Minnesota, down toward the Twin Cities as well this morning. Western Wisconsin, you should expect a little rain chance as we make our way on toward a little later this morning or into the afternoon. Almost all of us with some rain chance then by later afternoon or evening or into the night. Again, a tenth of an inch or so, not going to amount to a big deal. Just another wave of activity circling around low pressure, the low that's going to push up across Lake Superior and up into southern Canada. So still some of that rain chance later today and tonight. And for a few in the north, maybe late Wednesday. But I expect we start to dry it out a little bit at that time. Temperatures not warming up much today or tomorrow. Cooler than normal, no doubt. A little warm up Thursday, but as skies clear out, there's some talk of frostiness, and there could be some frost in the west even early Thursday morning. I think a little more frost west and central Wisconsin later Thursday night into Friday morning with those cooler nighttime temps. The daytime highs will still be like normal back up into the mid or upper 50s, but it could be some cool starts. And even then, looking ahead toward the weekend, everybody wants to know, I'd say a small rain chance could try to squeak back in a little later on through Saturday night or into Sunday. Not going to amount to much, kind of hit or miss, but a little shower chance maybe around just to keep the end of the weekend a little more on the damp side. So we'll check those forecast details, and they're windy right after this.
My dad has a solution for everything, whether it's some obscure tool in his toolbox or Liberty herbicide to deal with tough weeds. Now I'm continuing what he started by using Liberty Ultra herbicide from BASF, the best Liberty yet. It delivers 20% better weed control than generics thanks to its Liberty Lock formulation. And it's got easier handling, too. So thanks, Dad, for teaching me to use Liberty Ultra Herbicide. It's nice to know that good weed control decisions run in our family. Always read and follow label directions.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game.
Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt.
Of course, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre.
All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
All right, the harvest presses on, Stu, as best we can. That wind going to be strong enough to knock down any of that corn that's still standing out there?
Boy, I hope not. I hope we've all got that beat, but I'd say some of those turned leaves may move a lot more here in the next day or so. Let's talk about a mostly cloudy, breezy day, and there could again be some showers redeveloping later this morning in the west or in the afternoon further east. Temps this afternoon, mid and upper 40s, close to 50 here or there, but that's the most we can hope for. West winds at least 10 to 20, gusting around 30. Cloudy, a little rain in the nighttime, of course, and breezy. Temperatures very upper 30s to low 40s. The west winds gusting to 30 or 35. And even Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Again, mid and upper 40s. Northwest winds 10 to 20, gusting to 30. And by Thursday, mostly sunny, we could find our way back up into the low 50s. Upper 40s, low 50s. Maybe a little frosty in the west early Thursday with a northwest wind at 5 to 10. And I'd say a lot of us that haven't seen much, Pam, could see some of that frost for Friday morning as well.
Connie just corrected herself from Velders. She said she didn't get just short of an inch, short of a tenth. That's what happened.
There we go.
That makes more sense. Thank you, Connie. Remember the talk text line, someplace you can communicate directly with us. And, you know, you mentioned, Stu, about the leaves. We've got a new tool. People can send us pictures of the leaves that remain and the colors that hopefully are still vibrant. Or maybe it's the harvest that's ongoing, combine pictures or pictures of the pumpkin patch. We've got a brand new tool, our Midwest Farm Report app. Available both Android and Apple. Find it in your Play Store. Look for Midwest Farm Report. Simple to submit pictures or videos to us, and then we'll be sharing them. Midwest Farm Report in your favorite Play Store.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview on John and Gordy in the Morning when they're joined by the fabulous farm babe, Pam Youngke.
The Department of Ag has a problem with Wisconsin stockyards, livestock yards.
This is something that's going to impact potentially farmers no matter what they market. So what the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection is proposing are really, really escalated fees for the license that they give to the markets that sell cattle, the people that truck the cattle from the farm to the market. Mm-hmm. I'm not kidding you. I'll just ask you guys this. If you got a bill in your house that went up 1,666%.
Wow.
I think that, well, first of all, I think you might require medical attention.
Right.
But, you know, the catch with this one is farmers don't have a choice. If the departments decide they're going to charge these fees for their services, it really is like a fine. I talked to Kurt Larson, who is the president and CEO of the Equity Livestock Sales Cooperative. They must have, I want to say, about 11 livestock yards where cattle are brought to a central location. Buyers come to that location, and that's where the business is transacted. Well, if this fee goes into place, it goes from $400 a year per location to more than $7,000 per year for that same location. Now, to you and I, that seems just absolutely ludicrous.
It is.
But they say that these rules have not been changed since 2009, and it's necessary to finance the program. Now, Kurt Larson has done a lot of work on the numbers. He said that there is no justification in the hours that the Department of Ag staff is spending giving these licenses to justify that. The other thing he said is a lot of this is about traceability. You know how consumers want to know where an animal came from, what farm and all that. And he said that's really a food safety issue that farmers are already dealing with by putting ear tags in their animals so they you know where it's coming from by keeping really good records, especially in Wisconsin with all our dairy cows. And he said in other states where this has become an issue, there are shared parties that split divvy these license fees. So this, I'm telling you, this is a dust up in a big way. The fees are going to get passed on to the farmer. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, hey, wait a minute, we already are doing our part.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbaugh Show.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The government shutdown is now entering week number four with a crucial date on the calendar coming up. November 1st, says ABC's Ben Siegel in Washington.
That date is important because that is when open enrollment begins on these healthcare marketplaces, the Obamacare marketplaces in the states. And that is important because this whole shutdown fight started when Democrats demanded Republicans act to preserve expiring subsidies, subsidies that help make health insurance more affordable for people buying healthcare on these marketplaces.
The Louvre closed today for regular maintenance. Police are still investigating after Sunday's brazen jewelry robbery at the museum. The thieves still on the run. Amazon Web Services recovering after a major service outage that started early Monday and continued throughout the day, affecting popular sites like Starbucks, McDonald's, and Roblox. President Trump's ballroom dream becoming a reality. Demolition crews tearing down White House walls. This is ABC News.
The Bucks are ready to go. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks kick off their season at home this Wednesday night when they take on the Washington Wizards at Fiserv Forum, and it'll be the first time they face off against former Buck Chris Middleton, who they traded to Washington last season. Doc Rivers says they're planning a special video tribute to Middleton during the game. How come?
Because he's a Buck for life, no matter where he's at. Pat Connaughton's a Buck for life, Brooke Lopez, and so we lost three of those guys from last year. Chris will be the first one coming back. And, you know, the Milwaukee fans are phenomenal. So, you know, it's so funny. The one thing I'm not worried about is, like, usually the question, if this was a lot of other places, are you think the fans are going to boo? Of course not. They're not. We traded him. He won a title for us, and he's a Buck. And he's part of this community. Good as he was all on the court, I thought he was a superstar off the court. Him and his wife, with all the things they did for the community.
That's the Bucks head coach Doc Rivers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, we'll talk about the growth of wind and solar power generation across rural Wisconsin. And we'll hear from candidate for governor, Representative Francesca Hahn.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation just announced the official start date for one of its biggest ever construction projects, the I-94.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Coats and umbrellas needed today. Blustery and much colder, with scattered showers developing in the afternoon. Highs only in the mid-40s. Those scattered showers continue this evening. Still breezy. Low temperatures in the mid-30s. It's 35 at our studios.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Federal budget cuts mean bad news for Wisconsin's trout populations. That's because the budget slashes funding for the USGS Ecosystem Mission Area. It's the primary program that works to control invasive sea lampreys. The parasitic fish have caused billions of dollars in damage to Great Lakes fisheries, but that trend had been reversing in recent years thanks to work and research that is now being dismantled. Leaves are falling, and now is a great time to rake them up, put them in.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Maggie Dawn Show interview with 32nd State Senate District Senator Brad Pfaff.
I wanted to talk to you about consolidation across basically every subsector of the agricultural industry. This is the phenomena of, hey, do you miss your local hardware store on Main Street? Well, that's because Walmart moved in. It means that they can, without even getting in a room and agreeing about it, effectively push prices up, especially when measured against inflation. In other words, there's price gouging going on because of consolidation. You care about this deeply. You've been following this deeply, and it is just getting worse, is it not?
It surely is getting worse, and quite frankly, it's wrong. So if you are going to grill a hamburger tonight or grill a steak, I want to let you know that while that beef may have come from the countryside all over this nation, the thing is there are four meat packers in this country that dominate 80% of the marketplace. And I also ask you to envision an hourglass in which you have hundreds of thousands of independent family farmers, and then envision the bottom of that hourglass in which you have millions of consumers, and then you have four meat packers at the dead center of that hourglass. So everything gets run through there. I believe that there needs to be a real thorough evaluation of what's happening. But again, this is a domestic marketplace and even an international marketplace. And it really is putting a squeeze on our family farmers, but also I would say on our consumers as well, because I think it restricts our choice. And that is why I push legislation, Maggie, in order to try and broaden this supply chain. Make sure that we have more small town meatpacking facilities. We call them locker plants out here in the countryside, where you can pull into a local meatpacking place and buy your summer sausage or buy your pork chops, and it's all local. And so I'm very proud within the Evers administration, there has been more money that's gone to local meat processing. These are family-owned operations. They're on Main Street, and it's a win-win for our consumers as well, because we get greater choice and greater variety when it comes to the food products that we can purchase and eat and enjoy. But yes, the consolidation that's taking place in agriculture, again, it just leads to a ripple effect. And so what happens is that the larger these meat packers get, or the larger, the more difficult it gets to be able to sell your product, your animal or your wheat or your grain, what happens is you yourself as a farmer need to get larger as far as purchase more land, and you consolidate. And again, that just leads to fewer and fewer independent entrepreneurs, family farmers on the countryside.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
1670 AM, The Zone.
You know, you love them. We're talking about brats. We're talking about ring sausage. We're talking about hams, bacon, meat treats. And guess what? The Master Meat Crafters Class of 2026 getting ready to reassemble. Stephanie Hoff's got that story on the way on the Midwest Farm Report. Welcome back, everybody. I'm the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on this the 21st day of October. Let's see what little tidbits I can share with you today. On this day, back in 1959, the Guggenheim opens its doors. Now, the Guggenheim is an art museum in New York City. It was designed by architect Frank Lloyd Wright. The Guggenheim opens on this day, back in 1959. A couple of happy birthdays for you this morning. Happy birthday to Judge Judy. Judy Shindlin, she is 83 today. Kim Kardashian, I'm sure social media will light up at this. Kim Kardashian turns 45 today. And now you know. It's a Tuesday morning, time for us to catch up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's STEFFES Group.com. I bet you were spelling that along with me, weren't you? Or you can always give them a call, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hune from the Steffes Group is back along with us. Although the harvest in Wisconsin may be kind of consuming a lot of our time, still, Ashley, some folks that are finding time to talk with you folks at the Steffes Group, be it one piece or maybe an entire group of equipment they're ready to part with, huh?
Yeah, truly. You know, it's kind of weather dependent, too. I know different places got a few little rain showers, and then all of a sudden we get a flood of calls, and guys are thinking of doing some trading. You know, you don't have to have a full-on retirement to do your own auction. Maybe you only have 5 or 10 pieces, and you want to do your own little inventory reduction sale. That is a very good option for a lot of people because, you know, it's all your stuff. It's not commingled with everybody else. You have your name on it. People can talk directly to you, and that's really been a good avenue for some people.
I'm intrigued at some of the co-ops that are listed on the steffesgroup.com website. That kind of caught me by surprise.
Yeah, there again, you know, those guys put a pile of hours on stuff, whether it's sprayers and fertilizer, equipment. We got a lot of tender trucks, you know, and the way the dealership thing is, people don't want trade-ins anymore. So I'm looking to see a lot more equipment from going directly to auction so they can price out and get a better cash deal on their new stuff. So for instance, you know, like I said, sprayers, tender trucks, floaters. We do have one co-op that was selling new planters, so they're getting rid of all their inventory as far as used planters goes, and they're going to have a few new planters as well.
Interesting. Again, folks, Ashley Hune along with us. You can find these details on their website, steffesgroup.com, STEFFES group.com. And then tell me about the one in far northern Wisconsin. This is, again, when people, just about the time I think I've figured it all out with you guys, you come up with something new.
Yeah, you know, really, we're pretty well connected around the country. So there, it's called Nicollet Hardwoods, and there's just a ton of history there. It's a company that's well over 100 years old, and unfortunately, they had some issues, so they're in receivership. And so up to December 1st, we're going to take on bids for proposal as taking the company over and running as a whole. And so we're going to set up tour dates and things like that. It just hit our website here at the end of last week, and we'll see how that goes. Hopefully that's what we can do. If not, we might have to liquidate all the equipment inside, but we'll see. I'm hopeful.
Well, like I said, folks, check it out. It is just, I learn all kinds of stuff when I get on that website. The other thing that people have to understand, Ashley, although obviously we want them to tap into that website, you guys are all about the face-to-face experience, too, about the last group of live auctioneers there at the Steffes Group.
Yeah, we just want to remind everybody we didn't sell our semis and our trailers, so we still got our mobile offices, and we still like doing face-to-face live auctions. And some guys, when they're retiring and they want to have a Thursday, Friday auction so the family can show up, have a long weekend, stand in front of their equipment, talk to the people that come to the auction, we still do that. It's still one of my funnest days at work, and so hopefully it never goes away.
Boy, that is for sure. Ashley Hewn along with us on a Tuesday for the Steffes Group. You want to check out that website, say it with me, steffesgroup.com. All kinds of stuff that you can take a look at there. And if you say, yep, those are the guys I want to talk to about my auction, or those are the guys that I'd like to have this piece sold by, 800-726-8609. That's 800-726-8609. Ashley Hewn along with us from the Steffes Group.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers. Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy. From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world. To integrate a global ag and energy supply chain. To advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world. To build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand Power Core and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes, Power Core and List beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Well, the cattle industry is distraught at some offhand comments made aboard Air Force One by President Trump, saying that to try to lower beef costs to consumers, he's considering bringing in Argentinian beef, maybe even Argentinian cattle. Colin Woodall is the CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, and he said that comment is disappointing.
Well, we are extremely concerned with the plan, but probably more importantly, we are just flat disappointed that this is the approach that the president has taken. We understand what he is trying to do, but what he does not realize is that in trying to bring the price of beef down for the consumer, it means he's going to bring down the price being paid for cattle for U.S. producers. So in effect, this is a direct attack on U.S. cattle producers, and it negates so much of the work that we have done over the years to build the overall quality of our product, a quality that we're very proud of. When you see the amount of beef that is grading choice and prime, the consumer likes what we are giving them, and they've made it very clear that they want more of it, and that's why demand remains at almost a 40-year high, and that the consumer is still buying our great product. And unfortunately, the president's plan will have a huge impact on how we as cattle producers can capitalize on that.
Colin Woodall, CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, he said if the president wanted to do more as far as lowering the cost of beef to consumers, he should have come to the National Cattlemen's Beef Association before he made the comment. More on this, I'm sure, with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, who's just around the corner. Markets and overnight electronic trade this morning are generally quiet right now. December corn's unchanged at 423. March corn unchanged at 437. November soybeans are up 4.5 at 1036. January soybeans are up 4 at 1054. Yesterday, the barrel cheese gained a quarter of a cent at 177.25. 40-pound block cheese was up 2 at 179.5, while AA butter dropped a penny and a half to 158 a pound. November, class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning's up a penny, 1703. December's up 3, 1676 a hundredweight. Keeping the conversation on meat proteins rolling this morning, I want to let you know that the Master Meat Craft Program on the UW-Madison campus is coming back again for 2026-2027, and applications are now being accepted. This is a two-year hands-on program that gives in-depth education in meat science, food safety, processing principles. It really gives the participants skills and knowledge to take their craft to the very next level. Jeff Sindelar is in charge of the Master Meat Crafter program on the UW-Madison campus. He's our extension meat specialist, and he says some of the graduates from this Master Meat Crafter class have gone on to do nationally recognized things.
Every year there's a National Meat Processors Convention. As part of that convention, there's a meat product competition. So meat processors can enter products that are judged by experts. There's a best of show that's selected. And the best of show for this national competition is actually named after a Wisconsin meat processor. The best of show this year came from a Master Meat Crafter graduate in Cumberland, Wisconsin, and it was a product that they chose to make and learn about as part of their Master Meat Crafter plant project. So it's a really cool tie-in to see they've never made this product before. They started making as part of their project. They, of course, perfected it after, and then they were able to win the biggest competition in the United States.
Dr. Jeff Sindelar, University Extension Meat Specialist, talking about one of the graduates from their Master Meat Crafter class. Of course, if you've ever been to Cumberland, chances are you know Louis Finer Meats, and that is the company that Jeff was alluding to that won multiple Best of Show awards, literally setting the hallmark for meat processors across the United States. You want to be a part of the class? They're accepting applications now until mid-November. Details are up at MidwestFarmReport.com. John Heinberg joining us next.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After serving less than 4 months of a 7-year sentence, disgraced New York Congressman George Santos had his sentence commuted by President Donald Trump on October 17th. Santos had pleaded guilty to wire fraud and aggravated identity theft in August 2024. Shortly after the newly elected congressman took office, inconsistencies surfaced about Santos's resume and financial dealings. The FBI, IRS, and the U.S. Attorney's Office investigated, and in May 2023, leveled 13 charges of wire fraud, money laundering, theft of public funds, and lying on U.S. House financial forms. More charges of identity theft and credit card fraud followed in October 2023. After a plea deal, Santos pleaded guilty on reduced charges, was forced to pay restitution, and began serving an 87-month sentence in July 2025. U.S. Attorney John Durham said at the time, "Today, George Santos was finally held accountable for the mountain of lies, theft, and fraud he perpetrated." October 13th, Santos published an open letter to Trump in the South Shore Press, saying, quote, "I am asking for fairness, for the chance to rebuild." In commuting his sentence on Friday, Trump wrote, "George Santos was somewhat of a rogue, but there are many rogues throughout our country that aren't forced to serve 7 years in prison." We've linked the Santos letter at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted.
A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matinee on Air.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and I dig into Donald Trump's promise to sic the IRS on his enemies. I thought that was illegal. We discuss next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
For a lot of farming operations out there, as far as revenue is concerned, let's talk about it. John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live this morning. Do we think this was just a slip of the tongue, John, or is this something that we expect to get legs on it, bringing beef in from Argentina? Heard something about live cattle, but let's just keep it on the beef side. What's the market talking about this morning relative to this?
Yeah, this is actually the second time he's made some type of reference regarding the beef market. And the last time we kind of had a top before this latest rally, he made those comments, again, kind of off the cuff when he was getting on a helicopter to go somewhere. And somebody said, our policies will kick in, beef prices will come down. We had a rough day that day. Now, this one seems to have a little bit more teeth to it because it seems to be pushing it a little bit more. I wasn't surprised it was going to be beef from Argentina just because of the kind of the big brother mentality we've got with Argentina here over the last few weeks. So we'll have to see what the impact is, if it even occurs. Obviously, some of the beef cattle groups and ag farm groups have really kind of stepped up their noise against this type of a policy, just basically say, let the free market work. So we're going to have to see how this kind of plays out. Now, what's going to be the impacts if something like this does happen? That's going to be the piece of the puzzle that's going to be interesting to see. You know, he's thinking it could be something very much like the egg policy when he first took office and just imported a bunch of eggs and prices came down. He's, you know, in that regard, beef is a little bit different. You're talking a perishable product that's big in bulk. It's going to be difficult to get into the market. Then there's different levels of beef in the United States. Obviously, this beef would not be the quality, you know, high restaurant, you know, retail trade. It's going to probably go into trim in those areas, which maybe his focus is bringing that ground beef price down to help out the lower end consumer, who is obviously getting affected the most by, you know, things that are happening economically here in the United States.
Yeah, like I said, it's one of the only areas where farms have been feeling halfway decent about their bottom line. Now, let's talk a little bit about this was a slip of the tongue, or we'll call it that, just an off-the-cuff comment. Sometimes it's a post on Truth Social or whatever. The market is just doggone desperate for any piece of information these days, isn't it?
Very much so. And obviously in our modern world of trading now too, with the algo traders and, you know, they're searching headlines and anything that comes, you know, from the administration or just news anywhere just triggers market reaction. And that's some of the volatility that we got in all these markets right now. It makes it just very difficult to manage for producers in terms of protecting risks, things along those lines. You know, just look at the soybean market too. We've had a nice little move in the soybean market the last few days. Some of that is due to the fact that farmers are not selling here just because prices aren't good. They're storing things and making the market pay them to bring those bushels out into the marketplace. But just all the talk the last 2 weeks here, the back and forth between us and China regarding a trade deal. You know, yesterday it was sounding pretty positive. We'll have something before we go meet in South Korea here in the next week or so. You know, the market's been reacting very nicely to that, and a lot of times they're going to price a lot of stuff in, even if a deal occurs that maybe the market's already got it valued in, just because of the chatter that's out there.
Yeah, the chatter that's out there. Now, I was mentioning also that all of a sudden industry is filling the vacuum. We haven't had a crop report, almost a month now, John? I mean, are you just calling guys, or what are you doing?
That's pretty much where we get the source of our information, is just from talking to producers and what are they seeing out in the fields. But there is a lot of private industry that's still out there that's, you know, in terms of, you know, Pioneer Seeds or Wiffle Seeds or somebody where the customers are reporting yields back and they're getting that information out. You know, a lot of that, though, is just area specific. So it's not giving us a big, broad picture of where we are with things. Do see that, you know, Farm Journal put out an article here, too, just recently with what their forecast for the yield is on the corn side. So it's kind of hard at this time frame. I'm not going to deny it. It's just having that flow. Now, like I said, we've seen the markets kind of firm up here last couple of weeks on the corn side. It continues to be the talk that this crop is nowhere near where the USDA had it pegged now back in September. Now, unfortunately, as the government shutdown kind of continues here, and the WASDE report and the crop production report for November is probably on the chopping block, because obviously they put that data together in the month of October, and they're not working at this time frame to get anything out. So maybe they'll get us at least a sliver, because going 2 months in this window without information is kind of scary right now, that mm-hmm. when things come back together, what are we going to have?
Yeah, well, and that's what I was going to say. When it comes back, could that be a whiplash on the market?
Very much so. I mean, all of a sudden the veil gets pulled behind with this, you know, or opened up so we can see what's been happening in terms of export sales and as well as just crop production, things of that nature. Obviously, they kind of meter the information out, at least they did in 2018 over a course of weeks by showing, giving you double reports and export sales and things of that nature. So, but still, it's just going to be one of those things where you're going to get a data dump and we got to deal with it.
All right, my friend. Appreciate it. We'll keep you posted if we hear anything, and he'll do likewise. John Heinberg, Market Advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Remember their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. You'll want to talk to John, 800-334-9779. John Heinberg on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
The first of two shows on priorities for the U.S. dairy industry, today on Farm to Fork. As you've probably heard by now, the 12 agricultural safety and health centers around the country did receive a renewal of their federal funding support and will not be shutting down. Many of those centers had projects in progress, and those will now be able to continue. Also continuing the Ag Safety and Health Campaign on Farm to Fork. To learn how you can assist with that, visit the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com. I knew a guy who was caught in a power takeoff on his dairy farm. By some miracle, he survived. Most farmers aren't as lucky. Keep those shields in place. Don't wear loose clothing around a power takeoff. And shut the tractor off before doing any work or adjustments to the PTO. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. U.S. dairy farmers have built quite an export market. Randy Mooney has been chairman of Dairy Farmers of America for the past 17 years.
When I first started in this industry, I think we exported maybe 2% of what we produce. Today, that's 16, 17, 18%. And the world needs our product. The world wants our product. And I don't think the U.S. dairy industry could be sitting in any better spot from a processor side or a producer side than it is right now. Now, do we have our challenges? Of course we do. We always have. We always will. But we'll work our way through that.
One of those challenges is the tariff situation. Dara Maccabee is CEO of Idaho Milk Products and also the chairman of the International Dairy Foods Association.
We believe that tariffs, the way they're applied at the moment, are an unnecessary nuisance. At Idaho Milk Products, we've been able to manage around the worst of the impacts. There's a confusion about what's going on with trade. And I think for business, uncertainty is the worst thing.
Another issue high on the priority list for dairy is the instability of the labor force caused by immigration policy changes. These guys will be back in tomorrow's show to weigh in. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow Yes, Pat Kreitlow will be joining us after 9:30. I hope you can join us too.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on Air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one department of agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Vice President Vance is in Israel to shore up the somewhat shaky ceasefire in Gaza, where more than 40 Palestinians were killed on Tuesday in retaliation for what Israel says is the Hamas-directed killing of two IDF soldiers on Monday. Demolition crews began tearing apart White House walls on Monday to make way for the new Trump ballroom. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio's in Washington.
The remodel has been met with criticism from some Democrats. One senator writing, quote, seeing the White House torn apart is really emblematic of the times we're in. The White House firing back, saying, quote, losers who are quick to criticize need to stop their pearl clutching and understand the building needs to be modernized.
The new ballroom will be 90,000 square feet, bigger than the White House residence itself. An appeals court has overturned a temporary restraining order that prevented the Trump administration from deploying the National Guard to Portland. Government shutdown now entering week number four. This is ABC News.